This is a continuation of the January 24th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 176 for property ID 148-366-000. The property is owned by Beauty Limited Partnership and it's 50% interest. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Greg Peterson present over video chat as the representative for the assessor's office, and Chaz Standage present as the representative for the appellant over the phone, and they have both been sworn in for the day.
Okay, Chad, tell us about this.
All right. Last one, another daycare. This value is on at $1,784,400. We did a cost approach, which is coming in at $1,162,975. This one's built in 1985, 7,500 square feet. Our cost, I'll go over that, which is on page 12. For this one, we did C good, which is $181 base cost. With the multipliers and the extra features and the profit, our total RCMLD is $935,246. We did do land sales on this one. So our adjusted land value is coming in at $227,729. So our total cost is $1,162,975 or $155.06 a square foot. We've attached the Marshall and Swift pages to support the cost analysis. Our land sales, I'll get to those now. We're on page 18 and 19. the subject is valued at $10.39 a square foot for the land. Our land, you can see we have five land sales. We did size adjustments for each of the land sales, and they were in 2021. So our average adjusted price per square foot based on our land sales is $6.45 a square foot, which brings the total value for the land based on our sales to $227,729. And that's how we came to our land value. Page 20 is the map of the five land sales and the subject. And then to finish out the packet is the CoStar reports for the five land sales. So this one, again, we're requesting $155.06 a square foot. Subject is on at $237.92 a square foot. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay, Greg.
Get to mine here. Where'd you go? All right. So similar arguments here, relying upon income and sales, not cost approach as the most reliable indication of value. Our value is generated with the income approach. Same grids for rents, caps, and the generation of the value. This property was also received that market adjustment, the annual adjustment that is also reflected in the grids above. I will speak to the land, our land sales, which are on page, let me get to that, page 7, to validate that $10.39 land value of four land sales of similar zone. And more importantly, of similar size, although sale two is quite a bit bigger, sales one, three, and four are all slotted right at that size that the subject is, and they support the value of $10.39. And that, you know, when you're dealing with sales that are substantially larger, you could see that dollar per square foot drop, obviously, and that's the case in the appellant's land sales. Whereas here, I tried to focus on sales of like size for that value. So I wanted to point that out. Other than that, the assessor is relying upon the income approach to value that generates the total value of 1.784 400, and that's substantiated with the sales comparison approach that follows. Any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
I don't have any questions.
Anything else from you, Chad?
No, that's all I had. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 24th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 172 for property ID 114331012. The property is owned by KCPRE LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Greg Peterson present over video chat as the representative for the assessor's office, and Chaz Standage present over the phone as the representative for the appellant, and both of them have been sworn in for the day.
Okay. Chad, go ahead and tell us about this one.
All right. So we got another KinderCare in Vancouver. value for this one is at $1,117,500. Or $228 a square foot. Last year is $196 a square foot. We did a cost approach on this property. Cost is coming in at $656,699 or $134.02 a square foot. It's an older daycare, built in 1983, about 5,000 square feet. Our cost approach is on page 9. We did a daycare based on Marshall and Swift data. We provided backup to support the numbers. We did see good for this one. It was a 1983 built. We did effective year of 2010. And see good base cost is $181 a square foot. With depreciation and multipliers and extra features, and we also did entrepreneurial profit on this one. The total RCNLD that we're coming to is $343,090. And we, with our adjusted land value, and I'll get to our land sales in a second, but our land value, adjusted land value is coming in at $313,610. So that's our total cost value with the RCNLD, our proven value, and the land is coming to the $656,699. Our land sales, I'll go over those, are on page 16. The subject land is on at $15.50 a square foot. We provided four land sales. Our land sales are ranging from $11.72 to $13.90 a square foot. The land sales we were provided were from 2021, and we did a size adjustments on those. And the adjusted price per square foot that we came to is the $12.63 a square foot, which value would be $313 and $313,610 for the total land value. page 16, you can see the four land sales and the subject property. And we did attach the CoStar reports for the four land sales as well. And that's all we had for this one. So, again, our requested value based on the cost, our Marshall & Swift analysis and land sales is the $656,699 or $134.02 a square foot. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Greg?
Okay.
I'm probably going to be repeating myself, so I apologize in advance. And if you've heard enough, just let me know. I won't take offense. So on this one, I'll bring the issue of cost approach again on the valuation of this type of property. It would be the least reliable of the three approaches to value, especially when you have good market evidence with sales and good market data regarding income information in order to capitalize that income into a value. And that's what the assessor has done on this property. We've relied upon the income approach to value, and I'll refer you again to page 8, which is, it's the same grid of daycare rents, but the subject is included in there at the top. And again, it's the rents we're using are below market rents. Rents range from $23.50 to $26 a foot, all in a triple net lease. And we're valuing the property at the $20.46 on rent. The next page, capitalization or the cap rate grid may also look familiar. It's the same one as the previous because we're trying to use similar properties to the daycare. And we have a cap rate ranging of just under 6 to over 7. And we're using a 7.5, again, being conservative. And that's generating. And if you notice, one thing I didn't point out previously is on page 9, that income valuation shows the rent at $1.55 a foot. That is the rent that was generated for the value in a reappraisal. If you notice that $1.55 a foot, if I were to do the math, I'm not good enough to do it in my head, is $18.60 a foot. But this is another property that received that market adjustment. So we take that $18.60 a foot and add the market adjustment of 10%, generates the rent of $20.46, which shows up in my daycare rents. So we want to make sure that we are using that that our income approach is still supported by the sales and the data. And this is an example where it clearly still is.
Okay, that's a monthly rent, and you just multiply that times 12 to get the 18, right?
Yeah. So that's the $1.55 is monthly, and then times the 12, exactly. Yeah, and that's just how our grid was set up. So I'm constantly converting from monthly to annual and back, and you think by now I'd be able to do it in my head, but not the case. I'm still calculator in hand.
Greg, is it fairly typical that these appellants supply you with up-to-date rent costs and income?
So that's a great question, Lisa. So we, for instance, this year we sent out surveys, rent surveys for the area that we're reappraising, and basically, we're going Hazeldale, St. John's, up to Salmon Creek. That's our area. And we got a little over a 25% return on those income surveys. And we rely upon that. And then we corroborate that with any information we can get elsewhere. Elsewhere being, we are out in reappraisal and we talk to owners. We knock on doors. And when we can get the information, it's only to the benefit because we don't have to guess. And then we also corroborate the data with CoStar and other services online.
Okay.
So in this example here on the rents that are listed on page 8, those last three were from our rent survey in 2021. They did provide the data, which is it's great. I mean, I know people don't like to talk to government and we're evil, but we're just trying to do our job and we want to be as accurate as possible. And there's nothing worse than having to swag something. I'd much rather know that this is what these things are renting for, and we're going to be conservative on those rents because we want to be able to make sure that we're supporting those values.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I'm fine. I don't have any questions.
I could go into more about our land grid, but you have the data. You can read it. I don't need to explain it anymore. Unless you have questions.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't have any questions either.
Okay.
I have one more question. So the appellant, they have this information from you ahead of time, and they can see that you're using the income approach or the sales approach.
Yeah, I sent the information to Pivotal in, I want to say, October. There's always a follow-up call, too. But, you know, we're busy, and I understand that, but we do. I try to get the information to them as soon as I possibly can, and this one, I did supply this information in October.
Well, my comment is just, it seems like if we were truly comparing apples to apples, I mean, if they see what you're doing and then they choose to use the same approach that you do instead of the cost approach, it just seems like it would be more... again, apples to apples.
I don't disagree. I could hop on my soapbox, but no one wants to hear that. So,
well, I'll be honest. Sometimes, you know, we'll have people putting together our packets, and we have people doing the hearing. So, you know, a lot of the times when the evidence being submitted, you know, the person actually doing the hearing isn't able to see the assessors in our evidence at the time. So it's
okay.
You know, we're kind of with at the hearing, we're kind of stuck with what we got because that's what was submitted, and we can't submit anything new. You know, obviously, date of hearing. So that's kind of how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I just thought it might be good to pass along, maybe.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and Lisa, Minnie, it's, you know, we, you know, when it gets to a hearing, it's like the funnel, you know, we get down and you know, I start out with this many appeals and I have this many hearings. Most of these are resolved, and there are some that just go to a hearing, and that's the nature of the business we're in. And I have a working relationship with all the representatives and property owners. Terse words don't resolve anything. And I've spoken to Wayne many times and Chris, and so we do. But you know, sometimes the reality is things go to a hearing.
I wasn't commenting if things went to a hearing or not. It's just if you kind of see that one party tends to always do it one way, then if you tend to do it that same way, That's just me. I'm from the real world, so
yeah.
I don't have any more questions or comments.
I'm fine. I don't have any more.
Okay, let's close that hearing.
This is the January 24th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 171 for property ID 108-858-954. The property is owned by Ralph D. Mahan and Georgia Mahan, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. Greg Peterson is present over video chat as the representative for the assessor's office, and Chaz Standage is present as the representative for the appellant over the phone. If we could have you both raise your right hands, we'll get you sworn in, and this will be for all five cases today.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So go ahead and tell us about this one.
Okay, thanks. It's a KinderCare daycare center in Vancouver. The property's on it, $2,819,500. We did a sales and a cost approach for the property. Our requested value is based off our cost approach, which is $2,311,032, or $199.23 a square foot. Our sales came in at $1,289,431. This is built in 1999, about 12,000 square feet. A building, and we threw in some pictures of the property that you can see, as well as the GIS map. If you go to page 12 of our packet, is our sales analysis. We have two sales on the property for the property. The subject is on at $243 a square foot. We have two sales. Sale one was from June of 2021 for $111.88 a square foot. Sale two was for $110.44 a square foot. Sale two was from 2019. We did adjustments for size and age on those, and that brought us to our adjusted average per square foot, which is $111.16. Total value, requested value based on the sales is $1,289,431. Page 13, you can see the map of the sale, the two sales, and the star is the subject property. We did attach the CoStar reports for the two sales that we provided that you can look at, or if you have any questions, we can go over. So that's our sales. We also did a cost on the property, which is on page 20 cost is based on Marshall and Swift, and we did attach the Marshall and Swift pages to support the numbers that we came to. We used C-average for the daycare center built in 1999, but we did use a 2009 effective year, which brought it to 16% depreciation. The base cost for C-average is $139 a square foot. We also did the current cost multiplier, local multiplier, and extra features. So our total RCNLD is coming in at $1,715,932 for the improvements. And for the we're not arguing the land, so we're just arguing the improvements. The assessed land is on at $595,100, and we're not arguing that. We're just arguing the improvements on this one, which the improvements that the assessor has is $2,224,400. And again, our improvement value, our RCNLD, based on Marshall and Swift, was coming in at $1,715,932. And that's all I have for direct. So our cost, you know, requested value is $2,311,032. Also wanted to point out reason for the taxpayer kind of wants to go forward on this one is there was a decent jump in value from 2022 to 2023. Last year it was on at $209 a square foot, and this year it's up to $243 a square foot. And that's all I have for this one. Thanks.
Okay, Greg.
Okay, of the three approaches to value, income, sales comparable, or market, and cost approach, the cost approach would be deemed the least reliable method of value based upon the age of the building, unknown depreciation, and obsolescence, and the type of building, where it being a daycare, they are typically purpose-built. So I would not rely upon the cost approach in the market value for this property, and in my report, I didn't. The assessor is relying upon, or the value is generated upon, an income approach to value, and I got to navigate my way around this screen here. The income approach to value is supported by the documents in my report. If you look at page 8 of my report, there's a grid showing how the rents were derived for this property. We have rent comps that were gathered in 2019 and then three of them in 2021, four rent comps total, where the average annual rent per foot ranges from 23.5 to 26, and we're valuing this property at under $22 per foot. So the rents are conservative on this property based upon the rent survey. Moving on to page 9, the next page, the top grid shows sales to derive a cap rate. And we have four sales of like style properties. You know, unfortunately, this being a daycare, sales are always limited and daycare specific. But then you have to look at what's the most comparable type of property that could be converted, and office and flex type buildings can be converted to daycare. So those were included as sales numbers 2, 3, and 4. The cap rate range was from just under 6 to over 7.75, and we used a 7.5 cap, again being conservative with the cap rate. So not only are the rents conservative, but the cap rate's conservative. And then there at the bottom of page 9 is the income analysis generating that ultimate value of $2.8 million and change. The assessor is going to rely upon this analysis over the cost approach. I did provide a sales comparison approach of like use buildings. And in fact, I finally have some daycare sales in the county that are valid. The three sales on page 9 are most similar to the subject in terms of building and use And I would argue that the subject is superior to all the sales except for sale one. Sale one is in Salmon Creek. That's also a KinderCare that sold, but that's a superior property based on location. But the subject is out on McGilvern and 164th, which is a robust part of town, as I'm sure you're aware. And those dollars per square foot, and unfortunately, boy, do I need to get more powerful readers. This is really getting embarrassing to see this. But the sale prices range from $200 a foot to $376. And we're at $243 a foot. So we're right in that range and at the bottom of that range of these sales. And these sales are valid, confirmed sales. So we're going to rely upon the income approach, as discussed previously, and the sales comparison here. I would like to speak to the appellant's sales, but I'll wait my turn to discuss those.
I have a question on
your
income approach. You've got at the bottom line. You've got a market adjustment. What is that?
So this property was reappraised in physical reappraisal in 2021. And the 2022 assessed value, we did a market study adjustment to see what's happening to values. And we applied an annual adjustment. I'm sure you're aware of how residential applies annual adjustments to properties out of cycle. The commercial market in the county was strong, and we derived a market adjustment and applied that to the 2022 value. So that's where that market adjustment is coming from. The increase in value on the subject property is more than just the AA adjustment. In 2021, the subject properties, the values were discounted with a COVID adjustment due to COVID. It was a nominal adjustment, but we did all we could to acknowledge a COVID adjustment based upon all the data we could gather. In 2022, that COVID adjustment was removed, and then the annual adjustment was applied on top of that. So that is the reason for a larger jump in 2022.
I'm sorry. Explain that market adjustment again to me, because
the market adjustment is AA, Mr. Weaver. Annual adjustment outside of reval, and in commercial we have three cycles that are outside of the reappraisal area, and in 2022. We conducted a study of sales in those areas outside of the reappraisal area. And the reappraisal area in 2022 was kind of downtown Vancouver and the more core Vancouver area, and this is outside of that. And we determined a 10% adjustment on commercial properties. There were a few exceptions on some extreme special use properties, movie theaters being one of them that were still affected by COVID. So that market adjustment is essentially annual adjustment of a statistical analysis applied to the value. Does that make sense?
Not really.
It's just an extra adjustment they decided to do because...
We compared... So in annual adjustment, you compare the assessed value of a property that is not in reappraisal. And then you compare the sale prices and what's the level, what are those properties selling for? And if the assessment levels on those properties are below 100%, and typically for us, they're in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, 80% assessment level, we have to increase those assessments closer to 100%. In commercial, we can't push to 100% because of the breadth of types of properties out there. But it's essentially a statistical market adjustment for properties outside of reappraisal. And those adjustments
are crucial. You're saying it's a study done on the basis of the data that you accumulate for the value of a property, and that compared to what it really sold for in the marketplace.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And it's an attempt to reconcile the values. There are times where, we may not do an annual adjustment for 3 years until it's reappraised. The problem with that is the values change so much over those 3 years. And we have these gigantic jumps in value. It's the attempt by, by the assessor to be closer to market value in areas out of reappraisal cycle. And it is a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And go ahead and whatever you have to say about...
Of the appellant sales. So those, the two sales that appellant provides were the same two sales provided last year for these appeals. Both sales are considered invalid. They don't represent market value. The first sale was an estate sale where a husband and wife owned a mom and pop daycare. Husband died. And the wife sold the property to a realtor, and then the same day the realtor sold it to a nonprofit. So all this was done behind the screen and not being exposed to the market. So it's not considered an arm's length transaction if it's not listed and multiple people are allowed to view the property. The second property that's on Park Crest had a canned tenant. The ESD 112 had been the tenant in that building for years prior to the sale, and the property was sold to them. We don't know it was not exposed to the market. We don't know the details of the sale as far as, were previous rents applied to the sale price. It's just, it's not a clean sale. It was never listed for sale. It just transferred. So they're not considered arm's length.
Got it. All right. Andy, do you have anything else?
No, just a question. So on the assessor's income, is that – I see the income approach as of 1/1/21. So are you – is that the income approach from last year, but then you made the market adjustment to for this year? Is that
– Correct, for 2022.
Okay. The lease rates are from, when were those lease rates gathered?
So let me go back to my report because there's so many of them. I got to make sure I get the correct one. So the lease rates were gathered in where are we at here? Land value. Let's scroll down. The lease rates are on page 8. And those were gathered, and the first one is gathered in 2019, and the last three are gathered in 2021. And those are gathered by a survey that the assessor's office sends out in preparation for reappraisal, where we try to gather market information in preparation for our evaluations.
Okay. All right. Those are the only questions I had. I was curious on that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nothing else? Any questions, Lisa?
I'm Nick? Okay with all this.
Yeah, I don't have any questions.
I got enough information.
Okay, let's close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 24th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 174 for property ID 121-833-000. The property is owned by Preedy Knowledge LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Greg Peterson present over video chat as the representative for the assessor's office, and Chaz Standage present as the representative for the appellant over the phone, and they have both been sworn in for the day.
Okay, Chad, tell us about this one.
All right, thanks. Another daycare. In Vancouver, value for this one is $3,193,200. Our cost, only approach we did on this one, is coming in at $2,471,379. Built in 2000, and it's just over 12,000 square feet. We're not arguing the land value on this one. We just did a Marshall and Swift analysis, so arguing the improvements. Our cost is on page 12. We did C average, which is the $139 base cost with all the multipliers, extra features, profit, That brought our total RCNLD to 1,665,629, with the assessed land value, which is 805,750. Our cost is coming in at the 2,471,379, which is our requested value. And again, we did provide the Marshall and Swift pages to support the numbers in the cost analysis that we did. And that's all I have for this one. Thanks.
Okay, Greg?
I'll raise the same issues previously, and if you have questions regarding those issues, you can ask for clarification. But it bugs me. I found a typo, so I want to clarify a typo on this report. page 2, mea culpa, land value. I have 805,705, and that's incorrect. It's 805,750, and that bothers me. I'm sure there are more typos, but I won't look any further on that. On this property here, you're going to find a little OCD coming out. You'll find the similar grids regarding rents and cap rates on this property, and the same three daycare sales, which I'm going to lean on the income capitalization approach and the sales to generate the value here. Any questions? I'm available to answer them.
I don't have any.
Your sales comparison and your income approach come up pretty close to each other.
They do. Yeah, and
I have
this,
all of them.
Yeah, they do. Coincidence. I would think that if those two figures are closer, you're hoping that they indicate market, you know, that we're mimicking the market in both of them, correct? One is sales that we're trying to determine a value, and one is this formula we use to generate a value using rents and cap rates. So it gives me a little confidence when I see that those values are similar. When they're really far apart, I tend to worry a little bit and wonder, what did I miss? So it's keen that you saw that, Mr. Weaver.
Okay. Anything from you, Chad? Anything else?
No, that's all I had.
Okay.
Okay. I'm okay.
No questions for me.
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 24th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 173 for property ID 114728982. The property is owned by TNB LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Greg Peterson present over video chat as the representative for the assessor's office, and Chaz Standage present over the phone as the representative for the appellant. And they have both been sworn in for the day.
Okay, go ahead, Chad. Tell us about this.
All right, thanks. So we have another KinderCare in Vancouver, like the other ones. I'll try to go through it quick because it's about the same arguments as our other packets. I think the land sales are pretty much the same and the sales are the same. So this property's on at $1,368,400. We did a sales approach coming in at $629,101 and a cost approach, which comes in at $914,416. This one's built in 1984. I'll do our sales first. It's on page 13. That's the same two sales as the previous packet. Our sales, we did adjustments for those two sales. Our sales value based on the two sales is coming in at the $629,101. We did attach the CoStar reports for those sales as well. our cost, similar to the previous ones. This one we did C average, which is $139 base cost. Our total RCNLD for this one is $546,342, with our land value, which is $368,074, Our total cost is coming to $914,416. We attached the Marshall and Swift pages like the other packets. And then the sales, the land sales that we provided, which is on page 27. The subject land is on at $15.84. The land sale one's $14.88. After size adjustment, land sale 2 is $13.87 after size adjustment, and then land sale 3 is $8 after size adjustment. And I believe they're the same sales as before, so I won't get into them. We did attach the CoStar reports for those sales. And that's all I had for this one. So our requested value is based off our cost, which is $914,416. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Greg.
So same arguments on this one. We're going to rely upon the income approach and then verify that with the sales comparison approach compared to the cost approach being the least reliable. You're going to see some similar grids here on page 8. Boy, this report kind of flipped over a little bit. There we go. Page 8, you're going to see the rents on this property. We're using $20.46 annually, and the rent comps are higher than that, so it's a conservative rent. Moving down to page 9, it's the same sales to develop a cap rate. And in this property, we're using 7.5 cap, which is a conservative cap rate, which generates the income analysis on page 9. This one also received the annual adjustment, the market adjustment we discussed earlier, rendering the ultimate value at $1,368,400. Those figures up in the rent in the rent grid were adjusted with that 10%, as previously discussed. That $18.60 annual is adjusted up 10% to $20.46, and we're still within the range of rents. So same issue there. Sales, again, the 3 daycare sales I'm going to rely upon. Are verified and considered arm's length, and they indicate a higher range of value, except for the third sale. The third sale, which has a dirt parking lot, does indicate a lower value, but still that range of value, we are valuing the property at $228 a foot, and the range of value is easily supported with the sales. And that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
Very straightforward. Any rebuttal?
Nope, that's all I had. Thanks.
Okay. Close that hearing.